Ladies and gentlemen, this is Das Hobby, Germany's number one trading card show. And here are your hosts with the perfect podcast faces, Marcus and Dennis.
It's time again for English episode, guys, which means English learning lesson for me today again. But we have an amazing guest today who brings our hobby a bit closer and also a very special way. By the way, also closer to the many people via BBC and other big channels. We can talk about that very soon. Mm-hmm. But also with me is the wonderful Dennis. Dennis, what's up?
Thank you for including me in this episode. I'm happy to hear that I'm welcome. Yeah, thank you. I'm doing good. Looking forward to another English-speaking episode. And before we forget, just a little reminder for everybody. You guys know we're collecting money for the homeless people this year again for Christmas. The PayPal link is in the Instagram channel, so whoever has a little money or wants to give a little something, we welcome every cent, every euro counts. So let's just all stick together, see that the hobby is in good shape and is will to help. So whoever can help a little, we are thankful. And in December we take the money, we buy clothes, we buy food, we buy whatever the people need, and then we distribute everything on Christmas, like every year, and give it out to the homeless people on the streets of Hamburg. And I can tell you from the last 2 years, it's brutally cold at the time, so people are super, super happy and thankful for this. So let's get together and get this thing going. That was my speech. Goodbye.
Goodbye. we have a guest again, and he is, I think, I don't know, Dennis, our first guest from England, or did we have before, I guess, from England?
We had Ireland, yes. We had Scotland, yes. But yeah, England, yeah. Finally.
First time.
Who is it? The king?
Welcome. Paolo, is it right, or should we call you different? Is it your right name?
No. Yeah, you can call me Paolo, you can call me whatever you like.
Yeah, nice.
Thanks for having me, guys. Anyway, really, 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 really amazing to be on. Thank you very much.
Thank you for being here. Thank you. Paolo Panini. Ah, it's a wonderful name. I once worked with a photographer who was called Pier Paolo Ferrari. That was...
Oh, wow.
That's pretty much the same league for me.
That's pretty sexy. Yes. I mean, it's turning me on. Do you know where the name came from? I've never told anyone this.
No.
You've got a bit of inside scoop. So Paolo Panini. So I was originally called my actual name, which is Ollie, if you really want to know. But someone, we found a Paolo Maldini sticker from 1988 live on one of our streams.
Mm-hmm.
And then someone mispronounced it on the stream and said, oh, Paolo Panini.
Okay.
And I was like, that's a great idea for a name. So I stole it from one of our comments on the stream.
It's a little like Donald Trump called Tim Cook, called him Tim Apple.
Yeah.
It's a little like that. Okay. Yeah.
I mean, that's where the comparisons stop with me and Donald Trump. But
I have to mention this because always when Paolo Maldini pops up, it reminds me that my sister, which has nothing to do with soccer because she hates soccer, but had a poster of Paolo Maldini in her cabinet inside of this.
Well, I've still got that poster. I kind of bow down to it once a week. Yeah. What a man.
Yeah. Yeah. Paolo, where are you from? Where do we meet you now?
So I am from the southwest of England in Devon, which you've ever been to before. It's basically full of farmers and old people. but yeah, I'm from farmland. Exeter is where I was born. It's quite a posh city with a terrible football team, but we do quite well.
Okay, Devon. Okay,
how big is Devon?
It's quite big in terms of map. I think it's the third biggest county in the UK, but it's only got about 800,000 people.
Okay.
Have you heard of Cornwall? Most people have heard of Cornwall.
Mm-hmm.
Right on the tip. It's kind of the surfing capital of the UK. So it's a bit before Cornwall.
Okay.
There's a bit of a rivalry going on there between us and the Cornish.
Okay. Interesting.
But there we go. Southwest.
Okay. So and tell us a little. So what brought you into the hobby? I mean, you have a very interesting channel. You have a lot to talk about, I guess.
Yeah, so I'm a massive fan of football history, soccer history. I love the stories, I love the players, I love the Ballon d'Ors, I love the World Cups. And I think modern football, I don't know if it's the same in Germany, maybe you guys can enlighten me, but I think it's died a little bit. Like there's no characters, you haven't got your Franz Beckenbauers, your Michael Ballacks, your Lothar Matthäuses, you know, so German references. But your Miroslav Kloses, you haven't got these players anymore. And it's the same in England as well. And it's real sad that it's kind of systemic. So I've always loved the stories. The Ronaldinho is my favourite player of all time. Mm-hmm. So he has actually started as a podcast. I've always collected the sticker albums from the 90s, 1998.
Okay.
My first ever Premier League album. I've still got it. Mm-hmm. It's a mess, but I've still got it. And I've collected every year. I just love knowing about the players, where they used to play, where they were born, just random facts, really. But in terms of what reignited my love for classic football, actually started a podcast, funnily enough.
Okay.
I used to do a lot of football writing, and football writing for like independent magazines and football stories and histories. We turned it into a podcast, and the podcast done quite well. It got into the top 200 sports podcasts in Europe.
Nice.
Just talking about football in the noughties between 2000 and 2010, particularly in England. And then one day at the end, we used to invite guests on, and we'd open a classic pack of football stickers from 2002 World Cup. And whoever got the best stickers from 2002, we put them on a leaderboard for our guests. And then we decided to put it on TikTok one day, and people went crazy for it. So, yeah, we got quite a big following quite quickly, just by putting classic stickers and everyone commenting. Because I think it's nostalgic and people remember players from their youth.
Mm-hmm.
They go, oh, I remember Zico or Bobby Charlton, Paul Gascoigne, or Michael Ballack, whoever it may be. And they have a real affection and a nostalgic kind of love for their youth. And I think that's where popularity of it came. And then I've posted a video pretty much every day since then. That was maybe 4 years ago.
Okay.
Well, the first stick album, you said Premier League, was it Panini as well?
Funnily enough, it wasn't. So it was Merlin. So I don't know. Yeah, Merlin. So Topps purchased Merlin in, I'm going to say, 1997, around that time. And then Merlin had the Premier League rights and made all the Premier League albums. And Panini made all the World Cup and European Championship albums from then as well. So it was actually a Premier League Topps / Merlin album. 1998 was the first one.
Okay.
1998, okay. Because that was, for me, also the start in collecting was the 90 World Cup sticker album.
Italia 90.
Italia
90. Yeah, it's a great album. Yeah.
I don't have it anymore. I was searching for it everywhere, but I don't have it anymore. But I like it when it was, from the weight, it was full, and you have to, the feeling is still there.
Of course, Germany won the World Cup then as well, so it's a little bit... Added bonus. Yeah, they're very Italian 90 is one of the hardest sets to come by. You can find a lot of 1982 World Cup, a lot of 1986, but the Italian 90 album and individual stickers are very, very hard to come by.
Okay. So where are you searching for the stickers? Is eBay your main source, or are there Facebook groups, or how is it working?
Yeah, I'll be honest, I was literally before this call, I was on eBay looking at people in Australia trying to get 1990 packs, funny enough, Italian 90 packs.
Mm-hmm.
But all over the world, really, Instagram, Facebook. What I think a big tip for people is, what starts as someone on eBay who's got quite a large collection, I get a lot of stuff from Germany, actually. I end up messaging them, finding out their Instagram. They've got a large Instagram following, and then kind of becoming friends with them over a long period of time. And then before you know it, they're messaging you before they've even put anything up for sale. I think that is a core to kind of finding hidden gems. A lot of stuff in America. There's a lot of auction and sports sites over there that are kind of independent. A lot of people on Craigslist back in the day, Katawiki, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, all over. I spend a lot of time trying to search the kind of very unique, very rare, and very old classic football stuff in particular. Yeah.
Nice.
Is it then that you have now in your collection the sticker albums from the last years, then from 1996 till 20 whatever in your collection, or and then if you put them out of the pack, or what's your personal collection then exactly?
So my personal collection is it's difficult. So I don't really collect anything after 2010. Mm-hmm. 2010 is the cutoff. Okay. Anything after that, not interested. it's just quite savage. But I collect all the individuals, really. I do like the albums, but mine are in such terrible condition because I've had them since I was a kid that maybe in a few years' time I'll maybe buy pristine albums off certain people. But I like to basically collect the classic stickers and cards, and then I grade them with PSA usually. And then I've got a vast collection of kind of classic things from the 70s, 80s, 90s, and noughties in particular. Probably the gem at the moment is a 1982 Maradona graded to 9 PSA. Okay. There's not too many of those.
Nice. 1982
was
yeah.
it?
Yeah. Nice.
Which is it? World Cup or
World Cup? Sorry, yeah. Panini World Cup. Yeah. Mm.
Is it a rookie?
Be better prepared here, my friend.
No. So Maradona's rookie was the 1979-1980 Panini Calciatore
sticker.
Yeah. Okay. And then in Argentina they had Mega Cracks, and his rookie was in 1978. And those, I think there's only ever been one grade 10, and that sold for $550,000.
Mm-hmm.
So I've actually opened some of the 1979. Sealed packs,
okay.
But it's cost me like €600 just to get that sealed pack. I've done it for a video actually,
mm-hmm.
on my TikTok, and then we didn't find anything. no Maradona, unfortunately, but it was quite interesting because I actually bought someone had decided to grade it with PSA, so they graded the pack.
Okay,
I was like, well, I want to open that, so I actually broke open the PSA seal. And just to open it for a video, but
you buy the graded card and crack the PSA slab to open it.
Yeah, to open the pack because they're so rare. You can't obviously my thing. I don't want to buy individual stickers, really. I want to find them. I want to open them and then find them, which is very, very difficult and hard considering some of these packs have been sealed and not opened for 50, 60 years.
Yeah.
But it's I'm kind of addicted to it.
So like you're also interested in history in general, or is it, were you always interested in like old school stuff, or is it just with football?
Yeah, I am a bit of a historian, massive fan. Well, I would say a massive fan of like I'd say kind of military history, going back to like obviously we had a civil war in England, but going back to the Vikings and obviously the First and Second World Wars.
Interesting.
So I'm a big fan of history, but I think what I'm a bigger fan of is storytelling.
Okay.
So with all these footballers, you got the transfer, Luis Figo going from Barcelona to Real Madrid in 2000. Or Zinedine Zidane winning the Ballon d'Or in 1998 against the odds. Euro 96, let's probably not talk about that. But all these magnificent stories, I think football delivers almost like against the odds kind of these stories of jeopardy. Luka Modric, for example, won the Ballon d'Or, but he was a refugee from Yugoslavia. I find these stories fascinating, and football is just a vehicle to tell those stories, really.
Interesting.
What's about these Ronaldos and Messis of the world, which are today the story of the soccer? That's nothing where you can connect, or
well, maybe. I think there's too much of a fascination with Messi and Ronaldo in particular. Obviously, no denying, two of the greatest players of all time. I just don't think in the modern day, in 2024, where we are now, these players, these mavericks, these heroes really exist.
Hmm.
I don't know what it's like in the Bundesliga at the moment, but maybe because in the Premier League, these players are paid so much, and they're not really footballers anymore. They're athletes.
Hmm.
They can run really fast.
Hmm.
And they've got good athleticism, but they're not very good at football. You know? Mm-hmm. And they're getting paid hundreds of thousands of dollars a week. And I can't really identify with the heroes of a David Beckham, of a Paul Gascoigne, a Ryan Giggs, Ronaldinho, for example.
Mm-hmm. I got it.
Yeah, okay. I understand. I mean, I think that is a problem in most of the major sports, to be honest, because, like, for example, in the NBA, they have the same discussion. Everybody's so clean. There's nothing really going on. It's a bit boring sometimes, and the media tries to come up with some weird stories that are not authentic, that are not real. People get fined all the time, like, for saying, like, one wrong word. It's a little ridiculous. Yeah.
What did you make of LeBron James and his son?
My personal opinion is when I heard, I mean, it is an amazing storyline that the father and the son play on the same team, but obviously the son is not good enough. So, so that's why they have in the G League team already now, at the South Bay Lakers. And let's see where this goes. So he got drafted for the story. But after 10 games, everybody's like, yeah, maybe come back next year and then we figure it out. So, but the storyline is pretty cool, of course. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's very unique. But on the other side, there's not a lot to talk about in the NBA right now. The rules get adjusted all the time. That the game is like, it's it's a little boring. Like 2 days ago, they had this player LaMelo Ball. I don't know how deep you're into it, from the Charlotte Hornets. He said something. Yeah, we loaded him up. No homo. That's what he said, right? $100,000 fine for saying no homo. Wow. And I'm just like, come on, like that's a little too much. It's not the smartest thing you can say, but it's also not a $100,000 fine. Yeah. Like, what do you want this guy to say? And they take away a lot from the game.
I agree.
So boring.
Actually, I was thinking if we have this kind of types, not today in the Bundesliga. Is there one? I think no. Is there also in the Premier League? There's no way you said this is still a player where you can identify more with him.
I suppose there are some players who have kind of got that. So Phil Foden for Manchester City is a very much a maverick. You could argue Jude Bellingham for Real Madrid at the moment when he plays for England. He's got a bit about him. He's a bit special. But when they play in their clubs under Pep Guardiola or Carlo Ancelotti, they're so systemic. They've got no freedom. Mm-hmm. I remember Ronaldinho back in the day. He pretty much done what he want, but he was that good. He won a Ballon d'Or in 2005. He won two back-to-back FIFA World Player of the Year awards, won the World Cup, Champions League, and he'd done it being himself, and that's what players aren't allowed to do these days. They're not allowed to be themselves. Jack Grealish, quite a good example, played for Aston Villa, was allowed to do what he wanted, got moved to Manchester City for £100 million, and he's been on the bench ever since. Erling Haaland's probably the greatest striker I've ever seen live, but I don't know, he's very robotic, if that makes sense. You know, you probably know watching him at Dortmund, he's just an absolute killer. Nice. It's a difficult watch when you're a Manchester United fan.
But now the time's going better, right? After the changed coach now?
We'll find out. We will find out next week.
It's the first game?
First game is next week against Leicester, yeah.
And Nistelrooy is where now? Is no team anymore? Van Nistelrooy?
Van Nistelrooy, he's been linked to some Premier League clubs. I think he'll probably get... He was quite good, to be fair. Because he was manager of PSV Eindhoven. Beforehand, I think he'll get a move to a good club. I think.
Yeah, I like him. I like him as well.
So what's your relationship with German football? What do you think about like the German national team, and or some of the Bundesliga teams?
I tell you what. I do like Dortmund. I've gone to go and see Dortmund play in the Champions League.
Mm-hmm.
I love kind of 90s German football, like your Stefan Effenbergs, mm-hmm. your Lothar Matthäus's, even naughty. I really liked the Kaiserslautern team.
Okay.
1990 yeah. to when they with Michael Ballack and all that.
Or something?
I think it's 97. Yeah, around that time.
Okay. Yeah, okay.
Was it Otto as the manager?
Yeah, Otto Wehhagel.
Otto Wehhagel, because he won the Euros with Greece as well.
Yes. Yeah.
These stories. That's what I like, the stories. I like the Bayern Leverkusen team from 2002 that just missed out Champions League final. Because
mm-hmm.
That was a great team. Great, great team as well. Again, Ballack was in there as well. Voronin, I think. A few other players. I went to go and watch... I got invited by Tops, actually, to go and watch the Europa League final. Mm-hmm. Atalanta, Bayern Leverkusen, 6 months ago.
Okay.
As well, I tell you, one of the best days of my life. I used to live in Vietnam. Long story. I lived in Vietnam for a couple of years,
and it just pops in like it.
Vietnam. It's a long story. Different. And I got really bad food poisoning,
mm-hmm.
and I was really ill. I was so ill, I could not move for like 3 days.
Okay.
And this was in 2014. And and when Germany beat Brazil 7-1.
Yeah,
it was what it brought me back to life.
Okay,
it was so happy. I was just laughing so much. it made me smile a lot. But I love German football. I do keep an eye on it. I used to like Hamburg back in the day. Funnily enough, obviously Kevin Keegan,
mm-hmm.
English legend, won two Ballon d'Ors while he was at Hamburg, I think. Liverpool legend as well. I really like German football. Was it Werder Bremen Wolfsburg? We won the league in 2009 with Graffiti. Edin Dzeko and Graffiti. Wolfsburg. That season, fantastic. Schalke. Back in the day with Manuel Neuer, Mesut Ozil, Huntelaar, and then Raul. Was it Ralf Ragnick? I love these. I feel like in the Bundesliga, you get like maybe seasons where maybe one of these smaller teams does really well. As in, like in the Premier League, we've only really had Leicester recently. So I do like Bundesliga. Yeah.
Nice. So the last year was more Bayern Munich, just except last year, then the rest was Bayern Munich.
Yeah.
That's Bayern Munich was too dominant in the Bundesliga for many years. It was pretty. I really did not watch a lot of Bundesliga anymore because you know the outcome already. Like, it's not for me.
Yeah. Come back to your stickers. What would you say is the most special one you had in breaked or opened or have you in your collection? Can you say that?
Yeah, probably. So, the 1982 Maradona is up there because I found that, as I said to you earlier on, I don't like to buy single stickers or cards. I like to open them and find them myself. Firstly, because it makes me feel like a kid again. Secondly, because it makes a good video. So there is selfish reasons in there too. So the 1982 Maradona is up there. I opened a pack from 1970, which was the first ever World Cup album Panini released. The reason why we're having this discussion now is, in my opinion, all because of the 1970 album. That is the album, in my opinion, that sparked off the hobby of collecting these finite World Cup players. So I opened a pack from 1970. It cost me 800 euros to get a sealed pack from 40 or 50 years ago. And I found Bobby Charlton, obviously 1966 World Cup winning legend for England, and Gordon Banks, the goalkeeper, in that pack. I've got them somewhere. I found Eusebio in a World Cup pack from 1974.
Nice.
That's on my TikTok pinned videos. And then we opened a pack from a 1978 World Cup and we found the team photo of the Argentina team that won the World Cup. So that's quite rare in itself. And also Ricky Villa as well, who played in that tournament and won the FA Cup with Tottenham Hotspur. in 1978 as well, which is the last time they ever won anything. So there we go. There we go.
Is there a kind of checklists for this in the other in the trading card modern trading card game? You have these checklists. Mm-hmm. Do you have it in sticker as well?
Yeah, so you can find them online because obviously they know who's in the album. In the World Cup album, it's got the empty spaces and who's meant to be in there kind of thing. But there has just been, I'm trying to find if I've got it next to me.
Actually, Dennis, I remember we had one guest who was also collecting a sticker. It was Messman Cards. Did you remember him?
Yeah, that was very early on, right?
It was very early on, Messman Cards, and I think he was collecting these Messi stickers.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow. So, yeah, friend of mine, an author, has released this book. I'll show it to the screen right now.
Panini Legends.
Legends. So he's been authorized by Panini to write this book. And what
you?
He's got...
So
not
you
for me. Not, well, yeah. I wish just for me. It might as well be for me. This is my Bible. So this was released last week.
Nice. Panini Legends. Okay.
And I'm interviewing the author at the end of the month as well. I've interviewed him before with his previous work. So for example, in here he has got a list of all the most important Panini football stickers ever made.
Okay.
And he's also gone through the so we've got Paolo Maldini here, for example. There we go. All his stickers, but what he's exactly what he's done that no one else has done is that he's told you where to find their rookies, which album and which sticker packs you can find them, which no one's ever really put together before. You can't really find it online. Where if you wanted to find Michael Ballack's first, you'd there's a lot of debate whether it's in this album or that album, and the same with the likes of Dennis Bergkamp or whoever it may be. So he's kind of put the definitive answers in this book. So it's he's published a few other books as well. So those are my kind of Bibles, and then I kind of use that information to do my own research and hunt out the rare rookies.
Nice. Where you can buy this book? Is it on Amazon?
Yeah, it's on Amazon. It's just type in Panini Legends.
We put a link in the show notes. That's a nice Christmas gift, guys.
Oh, so absolutely.
First you donate for the homeless people, then you buy this book.
I'm not on commission, by the way, but I'm a big fan. Thank you.
That's good. Nice.
That's nice. But now, when we come today, when we also link all your channels,
I appreciate it. Yeah,
you can see also when you break modern cards, right? You open packs also for modern cards now.
Yep. So we've got a modern channel which we started maybe 4 or 5 months ago. It's already on 20,000 followers, which is pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where we do the breaks. We do all the modern stuff as well. Obviously, my main goal is to find legendary autographs. We've had a lot of Franz Beckenbauer, obviously recently passed away. Mm-hmm. So I think it's quite important to try and celebrate that, and what a player he was as well. We found a lot of David Beckhams as well. I just love finding the legends, and that's the whole point of that channel, really, to kind of still have fun with modern cards, but still finding legends.
Nice. Is the mix of if I remember my starting collecting was sticker, but then sometimes now it changed just to trading cards and sticker. It's not that time anymore. Is it? Would you say the sharing of this trading cards and stickers is the most people share this both, or is there really the ones who collect stickers and the other collect trading cards? Or?
I think it's quite separate. To be honest, as I mainly only really do the classic stickers because there's not too many classic cards. I think the World Cup 1998 was the first big commercial set that done cards. Maybe USA 94 as well. But if you go back to the 70s and 80s, there weren't many kind of massive football cards unless you want to go back to the 1950s would create the kind of... There was a Swedish World Cup set and kind of like cigarette cards and stuff back in the day, but I wouldn't really count that as a Panini kind of qualification kind of thing. There's plenty of people who collect both, but I think a lot of people now are investing in it rather than collecting it, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. So I think the smart person would probably invest in cards, but the happier person would collect stickers.
Mm.
Oh, yeah, that's my poetic take on it.
That's nice.
That's a wonderful title for the episode. The Happier People Collect Stickers. Yeah. That's good. Yeah, it's honest. That's the truth, guys. Yeah. Sorry. Sorry. That's it.
Yeah, nice. I mentioned it before. When I come to your account via, I don't know where exactly, but I found you, I think, on any channel. Maybe it was TikTok, could be. But also I find some reports on Sports Bible and BBC. Can you tell us a bit more about that, how this comes together?
So the Sport Bible article was about was last Christmas, I think, and then it kind of went through the newspapers over here as well. I think that I can't remember who, but I got contacted by them. I think one of the journalists just found my account, and as I said to you earlier on, people love nostalgic football. They love being reminded of players from their past, and that's 99% of the videos on the main TikTok channel are kind of celebrating football history. So if I open a pack and it's got your favourite player in, who could be as random as Robert Hoof or whoever it may be, people go, oh, I remember him. I really used to like him. He was in my fantasy team or whatever it may be. So one of the journalists just picked up on the channel and decided to write an article, done an interview with him. And then, got published a Sport Bible, Lab Bible and Talk Sport as well. One of the bigger radio stations here in the UK. And then the BBC was, thanks to a Mr. Stephen Bunting. I don't know if are you into your darts?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So he has, I think he's now the 11th best darts player in the world. So he found my streams and then found, once again, a bit like myself, kind of found a love for classic football and collects a lot of classic football cards himself. And he was in our stream last night as well. He absolutely loves buying into breaks and loves the classics as well. Massive Liverpool fan. And then that got a bit of an attention from the BBC. So then we were both in a BBC Sport articles together, talking about our love of classic football. In fact, he managed to find on our stream, I've only ever found one, and he found a 1978 Franz Beckenbauer live on our stream. And it's in perfect condition as well. You get a grade 10 quite easily.
Yesterday?
He found it probably a few months ago. Yeah.
Okay.
Amazing. Yeah.
So you're well connected over there. Is the scene where is the scene also strong, like outside of the UK? Like you said, you're also in touch with some Germans. Yep. But all over the world, right?
You know what? I think all over the world, absolutely. I think there's a few things picking up in Australia at the moment as well.
Right.
Obviously, they're massively into cricket and rugby, but I think football is getting a bit more attention over there as of late. And I think the USA, Mexico and Canada are the next places to look, mainly because the World Cup is going to be in the USA, Mexico and Canada next.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, with the documentary about Wrexham as well going on Disney Plus.
Oh yeah,
I think it's enlightened a new audience to the card scene as well, and obviously the popularity of Lionel Messi going to Miami. It's brought new eyes and maybe a newfound fascination, because I think maybe 10, 15, 20 years ago, I think the Americans were very stuck on baseball, basketball, American football, ice hockey.
Yeah.
And they, was it only 15% of Americans have got a passport, right? So they're very comfortable within their own land and skin. So I think now that the world's biggest stage of football is coming to them once more for the first time since 1994, I think there is going to be a lot more attention on football cards in particular.
Yeah, true. And they have the Olympic Games in 28 too, right?
Yep.
Los Angeles? Yeah, okay. Those Americans.
Actually, when you said come back to darts, there's a set coming out. Darts.
Yeah. Oh yeah, PDC. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So there was meant to be a Luke Littler set coming out. I'm not sure if that's still the case from Topps. And then a Panini PDC set's meant to be out before 2025. Really looking forward. So I'm actually going to do some filming, hopefully, with Stephen Bunting and maybe a few others We've got some plans to do some filming there.
Nice.
Yeah. Man. I think the asking for the set is very high, at least here in Germany. I get already a lot of questions if we get this and how much. And I think there's a lot of people want to have this set.
Darts is doing well in Germany too. Like, I think we were, of course, behind of the UK, but the events are always full when the PDC is in Germany. It's on TV, so yeah, it's pretty.
When I was in Hamburg last, I went to a sports bar, and it was on a Sunday, and they had, I can't remember what it was, but they had like a darts tournament. Mm-hmm. Everyone had their individual dart shirts. I've never seen that in the UK. I was like, wow, it's crazy. I
was Germans.
Yeah, I was like, these Germans. They should be a lot better.
What's wrong with those people?
Yeah, you don't really see that in the UK. It's quite rare. It's still quite a niche sport, but I think it will become big in the US as well, darts as well.
Yeah.
Before long.
I like it because it's so self, you don't need to explain it. Like, okay, we need to hit this. Wonderful. I can do it drunk. Wonderful. So it's perfect. It's a perfect game.
Absolutely.
Is there something else you, when I see in your back, you have an Bayern Munich jersey, and I don't know what's directly behind you, but do you also collect Brazil?
Oh, Brazil.
Do you collect also something different except cards, stickers, or?
Yeah, I've got a fair few football shirts, but that's about it, really. Yeah, not. No, trying to think of back in the day, I used to collect like model cars when I was a kid.
Oh yeah,
like Ferraris and
me too
stuff. Like the old American muscle cars.
Okay,
never play with them. Always look.
Yes.
I used to collect a lot of Lego back in the day. But no, it's all kind of centered around sport these days. So I've got a few signed shirts. I love it's 90s really. Anything 90s. Mm-hmm. I'm massively into my music. So a lot of 90s music, vinyl albums and stuff really, but if it's sport or music, I've probably got something related to it nearby.
Okay, so if our listeners have something from the 90s that's very rare, that you can just send it to you, right?
Oh, please do. I'll give him some free promotion.
Yes. Please send it to Paolo, guys. He's a nice guy. Please send the stuff to him.
Yeah.
Is there a sticker or card where you said this is something what you really need to find and want is and your our hearing people should send you?
well it's difficult really, because as I said, I like to open it myself. Mm-hmm. I think that to get a 1970 Brazil Pelé would be the pinnacle of the channel, I think. Mm-hmm. Because okay, it's the most iconic set. There is no more iconic set in my mind than the 1970 World Cup album.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
To get the most important player, arguably, that's ever lived, still the only player to win 3 World Cups,
mm-hmm.
In his last ever World Cup. And again, it's a story, right? It's a story. It's all about the storytelling. So I think that would be the pinnacle for me.
Okay, guys. So you heard it. Please, the Pelé cards. Send it to Paolo. It's important.
Please do.
It's important.
Can you share some plans? You said you stream on TikTok now,
yep.
Retro. You stream on which channel with your modern cards? Is it
still? It's called Paolo Panini Cards. Still on TikTok.
Both on TikTok.
Yeah.
Okay. Is there some plans which you can share, or which will come in the next few
years? Yeah, so on the Classics channel, what we want to do, we want to go to as many football grounds around Europe as possible. We want to interview people about their favourite players, so we could go to, I don't know, Hamburg, and people might really like Raphael van der Vaart from back in the day. And then we're going to open a classic pack of stickers, and if they find Raphael van der Vaart, they're going to win €100 or something like that. So we're going to go around the grounds doing that. So it's a bit of storytelling, a bit of fun, and you can win some money as well. So we want to do that on the Classic channel. It's just finding the time. On the Modern channel, we want to, as I said, with the PDC set coming out as well, we want to kind of film a lot of darts content, because I think that's going to blow up. Yeah. And hopefully we can do some filming with Mr. Bunting as well. Yeah, really just trying to incorporate more the storytelling aspect to football cards and stickers, really. I think a lot of channels at the moment are kind of just do the breaks and are finding lots of rare cards, which is obviously part of it. But I think there's not that many people making content and that storytelling aspect. And I think that's what we want to try and shift towards.
Yeah. Also, like long form format, or are you trying to sell it as like snackable content as the kids say?
So at the moment, snackable content. We have got a longer form idea. It's just So what we want to do is kind of do a chat show with cards, as like a with YouTubers, okay, footballers, coffee and cards. Let's say.
Okay.
There's a series on Netflix called Comedians in Car Getting Coffee with
Jerry Seinfeld.
Yeah. Same thing with cards, essentially. Yeah. There's a lot of big YouTubers in the UK, a lot of big celebrities in the UK that are collecting cards now and have messaged me on Instagram and stuff. So I think there is an opportunity there to have a very casual coffee, open some cards, and talk about their favorite players. Again, that storytelling kind of thing. And I think that would be a good, like, kind of YouTube podcast kind of thing to do. It is just finding, A, you got to pay these people, and B, finding the space and the time to do it, really. So I'd like to do that in the future. If there's any investors listening, give me a bus. As I said,
Dennis.
Oh, there we go, Dennis, get involved.
I own a production company.
Oh, do you actually?
We produce the number one show for Amazon Prime in Germany right now.
Oh, what's that? So, what show is that?
It's called Seven vs. Wild.
Oh, okay.
I think it's not on in the UK. It's like a survival kind of format. Fourth season of it. And we always look for interesting ideas. So we need to get off this stream here.
Give me a call,
as soon
Dennis.
As possible, because otherwise people are going to steal everything. People like Marcus are going to steal all the ideas.
So I'm surprised it's not happened already with how big... You know,
I saw him texting right now to somebody.
Yeah, I've had a few DMs from quite famous people in the UK, sports presenters, footballers, asking about cards or stickers. Former footballers, Stephen Bunting, darts, and you know, there's a real big opportunity to interview these people and speak about their sport. Obviously, I used to work in radio. The music and that's where the sports podcast came from, which develops into what we do now on TikTok. Okay. So yeah, I think there's a real untapped market there.
Yeah, nice. Yeah, it's the same in Germany. Like some of those celebrities, we have some rap artists and all of those people. Like because at one point they all collected and then they went another route, but now they're coming back and they find their passion for it again. And yeah, I also love stories like Marcus. We had a Papa Jim on. He had an interesting story. He's a baseball collector, and when his dad passed away, he found out that his dad played in the minor leagues.
Really?
So he started to hunt baseball cards from his father's lifetime and players his father played with and all of that stuff. So very interesting story, and he dedicates so much of his time to that and flies all over the country.
Wow.
And meets with people, finds all newspaper articles from the 50s and where his dad was involved. Like, because his father never wanted to talk about it. For whatever reason, his father didn't want to talk about it. And when he passed away, now the son is like trying to get this connection to his father back. So it's a beautiful story.
Exactly. It's storytelling again, isn't it?
Yeah.
We one of our streams, we opened a few packs from 1988 in the English football leagues. And also we were selling the packs as well. And someone bought a pack and their dad used to play for Manchester United, a player called Neil Webb. So he played for Manchester United and he played for Nottingham Forest as well.
Okay.
And they opened a pack and they found their own dad.
Wow.
That happened live on stream. And that's happened maybe three or four times over the last 4 or 5 years on our streams. It's crazy.
That's so
crazy. Yeah, good video as well.
I can imagine. I mean, this whole father-son thing is, it's beautiful.
It's also daughter. Father-daughter.
father daughter is
this yeah name. Come on now yeah father daughter now
that's a $110,000 fine right
yeah Yeah, I want to also add something because I told it already. I think my name Granite Moments was also a bit the idea behind of this storytelling, because it was a bit more general that you have these moments when you open the packs, telling stories on the cards, when you open them together, when you trade or change cards on shows, you met new people like we did now. This is kind of graded moments, so safe moments which you keep in your heart and your mind. That was a bit the idea behind this graded moments. That's the reason why I like it very much. This, because I also see that a lot of streams today, you open and they don't show base cards anymore. They just go through, show the hit.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then to the next one. So that's not the way I'm...
No, I agree. I like to take my time and talk about the players. Some people get annoyed by that. But I just love the stats. I love the history, how many goals they've scored, what competitions they've won, how much their transfer fee was. You know, I think... and it also shows knowledge. I think you're more likely to be respected and kind of listened to if you've got the knowledge to back it up. I could talk about football for decades, from the 70s, 80s and 90s, you know. So I think that's why people would have followed our channel.
Nice.
So thank you so much for taking the time. We have all the links, all the channels, everything in the show notes. Really, really interesting. It was nice to meet you.
It was likewise.
Thank you, Marcus, that you hooked that up. Like, you're a genius.
Thank you, Paolo.
No problem at all. Thank you very much for having me. I really enjoyed this. Yeah.
Thank you. Brilliant. And see you soon.
See you soon, Tara.
Bye-bye.